But so we are at the end of our series on the parables. We've been working through the parables since just after Easter. We started in April, and we're coming to an end this week. So we had our last parable last week, and then this one is the kind of the summary recap and the sharing together. Really grateful to each and everyone who's shared on this series. I think it's been a wonderful series, and just lots of good feedback I've heard from people. But yeah, grateful to all the speakers who've given time and energy just into preparing their messages. So we're grateful, aren't we? So I'm going to just begin with a bit of a recap. But we've tried with this series to really, we've obviously done some familiar parables, Good Samaritan, for example. We've tried to do some other ones which are maybe less familiar. I don't know whether any of you, as you've been kind of hearing the parables, then go, oh, didn't know that one. Didn't know that was in the Bible. Or maybe just reminded, I'd forgotten about that one. Because actually when we were planning them, looked at the kind of list, there's quite a long list of parables in the Bible. And so to try and bring them down to 10 was a challenge. But hopefully we've inspired you to go away and read the parables more. And even as you're preparing some of the messages for these, some of the parables are like one verse. It's like, how do you do a message on one verse? But hey, they've done a great job, haven't they? So, all right. So I'm going to do a bit of recap, and then I'm going to invite, just open the floor up for people to share with us. So, okay, let's click. Awesome. Right. And I must give an apology to Debbie and I've given them a hard task with putting an unrecognized font on the PowerPoint template, which has caused all sorts of problems, apparently. And we've just managed to sort it out in time to finish. So isn't that good? But well done. Thank you to the AV team who have sorted that out for us and worked around my awkwardness. So thank you for that. All right. So I'm going to be brief. I know we've got 10 parables to recap on, but it's going to be brief. So just hold on. So Matt Grant began. He kicked off our series looking at the parable of the two sons from Matthew 21. It's a parable that contrasts a son who initially refuses to work but obeys later with a son who promises to work but fails to do so. And Matt's... it's gone off the puzzle piece there. Matt's puzzle piece, his summary of what the kingdom of God is like from that parable, was a people who don't just say yes, they do yes. All right, people who don't just say yes, they do yes. Next up, we had Nancy, our very own Nancy, doing the parable of the great banquet from Luke 14. In this parable, Jesus advises guests to choose the lowest seat at a feast to avoid the humiliation of being demoted, warning that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, while the humble will be exalted. He further instructs hosts to invite the marginalized who cannot repay them, promising that true reward comes from selfless hospitality. Nancy's puzzle piece, the kingdom of God is like, is coming to a street party. Hashtag everyone welcome, everyone takes part. Sounds like a great street party. Phil followed that one on the parable of the rich fool from Luke 12, a parable that warns against the foolishness of hoarding earthly wealth and material security, using the illustration of a rich farmer who builds bigger barns for his increasingly large harvest, only for his life to be taken away from him that very night. Phil's summary of what the kingdom of God is like was someone who prioritizes God and others in the use of their gifts. We then had Robin on the parable of the mustard seed from Mark 4. Jesus uses this parable to emphasize that although God's kingdom may come from the smallest of beginnings, contrasting popular expectations, it will grow to be vast. Robin's summary: the kingdom of God is like a people who seek a mustard seed of faith in all they do. A mustard seed of faith in all they do. Then had Ray doing the parable of the leaven. A parable about the good, from Matthew 13, a parable about the good news of Jesus' kingdom gradually permeating into and expanding across the whole world. Raise summary. A community that is feeding and working individually and together to expand. Then had Rob with a parable of the unforgiving servant from Matthew 18. Through the story of the servant who was forgiven an immeasurable debt but refused to show mercy to a fellow servant owing a tiny fraction, Jesus illustrates the necessity of boundless forgiveness. The kingdom of God is like living in and passing on God's grace. Living in and passing on God's grace. Eric followed that with the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke 18. The parable contrasts a self-righteous Pharisee who boasts of his own virtues with a despised tax collector who humbly begs God for mercy. And Eric's was the kingdom of God is like humility in prayer with no play acting. Okay, number 8, we're getting there. Parable of the prodigal son from Luke 15. The story of a father who graciously and joyfully welcomes home and forgives his wayward younger son after he squanders his inheritance and returns in repentance. The father also offers a gentle rebuke to his resentful older son, reminding him that it is right to celebrate because a brother who was lost has now been found. Amen. The kingdom of God is like a welcoming, joyful, loving and grace-filled home. Next, we have the joy of having Joe Gurung with us, the Gurungs, a couple of weeks ago. They were with us, and I think Joe shared an update, but then also did one of our parables for us. She spoke on the parable of the hidden treasure in the field from Matthew 13, a parable about kingdom treasure, which is worth securing at all costs. Now, we didn't quite get a summary statement from Joe in that one. Maybe I'll error a little bit, but actually I thought it was quite helpful actually to have a blank one. Because actually there are many more than what we have here, and actually we can all contribute to thinking about what the kingdom of God is like. And maybe from different parables or different stories we can give examples of what the kingdom of God is like. So maybe even out of today or out of your own reflections from this series, maybe you have the kingdom of God is like ... Fill it in for yourself. What would you put? What's the kingdom of God like through your experience, through how God's encountered you, through what you read in the scriptures and the stories, other stories you read? What would you say? Okay, we then had myself finishing off the series last week with a parable of the persistent widow from Luke 18. Jesus tells a story of an unjust judge who finally grants a persistent widow justice for self-interest and preservation purposes. Jesus uses this contrast to assure his disciples that if a corrupt judge responds to persistence, how much more will a loving God swiftly bring about justice for his people who pray continually without giving up? And I said, the kingdom of God is like a people who are persistent and faithful in prayers for justice, and whose prayers fall on the ears of an attentive, merciful, and quick-acting king. Well, okay, there's a very, very quick and shallow, if you like, recap of the series we've been through. It's been wonderful. The puzzle piece is summarizing the kingdom message from each parable, and it's given us something of a big picture here. I guess just like a puzzle does, doesn't it? Each piece gives something, but it's not the whole. But when they come together, it gives a bigger picture and gives us a bigger picture of what the kingdom of God is like and what the characteristics of God and his kingdom are like. Something for us to be inspired to live by. But as I said, there's an empty piece there for us to fill. And maybe if you've even got something this afternoon that you think, oh, I wouldn't mind sharing that. God just drop something into your heart or mind just to share them, then please do. But we are going to just give opportunity now for some reflections. And I shared these questions last week. I put them out on email and Facebook just to be for you to be thinking about. And the questions are, which parable spoke to you and why? How has this series helped you to see what the kingdom of God is like? How has God spoken to you in this series? What practice or spiritual practices have you or could we adopt to help live out the characteristics of the kingdom? And are there any ways you have grown in God through this series? So maybe it's a reflection on one of those or a couple of those questions. Maybe it's also just something you found interesting. Maybe you're like, I heard this and it's made me really think on that. And I'm reflecting on it or I'm just journeying through something around that. That's okay too. It doesn't need to be fully formulated answers or responses. It can just be, I found this really interesting and here's why. And here's what I think maybe God is speaking to me about. So, yeah, we're here to learn together, aren't we? And we encounter God through one another, and through one another's sharing and reflections and questions. So, we're going to open the floor. I've got a couple, maybe two, maybe three people who are willing to come and share. So I'm going to start, get someone to come up first. I'm going to leave a gap for anyone else. So Robin, why don't you come up first and share with us?
Great. Thanks, Dan. Well, inspired by our series on the parables, I took three parables to India with me and on the basis of speaking in the churches. And to be perfectly honest, we had an amazing time. And next week I will give you a bit more of an outline on who we went to see and what we did. But I took the parable of the sower out with me, the parable of the mustard seed, which I thought was great fun, and the parable of the yeast. And just a couple of quick testimonies. We found ourselves, I'd said to Isaac, which is the chap that we go out to see, look, I don't want to meet anybody that we're not working with. We just want to work with the pastors and just see our friends that we're going out to see. So on day two, he blew a hole in that and failed miserably there. And we met a pastor in the center of Bengaluru where we go. And this man takes his church out to the streets like we do with the healing on the streets. It was amazing to see. I've never seen a church in India that was so passionate about sharing the faith on the streets of India. I mean, if you knew the opposition that they normally have, to see that. And so at short notice, obviously, I was asked to speak. So I thought, well, we'll speak on the parable of the sower. And the fact, if you all know the parable of the sower is a farmer goes out and he sows seed and the seed falls on the path. It grows into, I have to put my glasses on now. It falls on rocky places, it falls in weeds, and it falls on good soil. And the thing that really struck me about that parable, even though it wasn't one of our 10, I don't think, was God's extravagant love for everybody. That he'd sow the seed to those people who have hard hearts. He'd sow the seed to people who have anxieties about life and wealth. He'd sow the seed to everybody. He wants to give everybody the opportunity to hear the good news. So I got a chance to speak. And while we were speaking, I really felt like God wanted us to pray for this pastor. So at the end of the meeting, we prayed for him that God would increase the fruit that they're seeing out on the streets 100-fold. And, you know, at the end of the parable, it talks about God increasing the fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And it was just amazing to be able to pray for this man and the small group of people that he's working with to pioneer this church. It's amazing, amazing person. The other quick testimony was that we went to a place called Mysore, and we spoke in a friend of mine, or we were at a friend called Vishu, and I got the parable of the mustard seed out, and at the end of the meeting, you know, this is how God goes before us. You know, I spoke on that parable. And when we got to the end of the meeting, this young chap came up to us And he said before he came, this was the first time he'd been in the meeting to church. I don't think he was a believer, but on the way to the meeting, he'd picked up three seeds. God had drawn his attention to three seeds on the ground, and he'd picked them up. And he thought, and he was meditating on these seeds on the way, and he'd actually looked at this parable before he got to the meeting. So for him to then hear me speaking on that parable is just a fantastic example of how God prepares the ground. And for him, that was a confirming sign that God is there and was speaking to him. So I had a brilliant time. And one last thing. One of those questions was, how has the series have helped you to see what the kingdom of God is like? Well, in looking at parables is to shake us, is to help us to see things in a different light. And I'd never thought of mustard seed like a pernicious weed before. You know, if you don't gather, you know, if you look in Israel, mustard seed plants, they're not pretty plants, but they're all over the place. And I heard one preacher talk to them and equate them like, Japanese knotweed. Yeah? Once you've got Japanese knotweed, you're never going to get rid of it. Yeah, and that's what the kingdom of God is like. Once the kingdom of God starts growing, it's going to grow and grow and grow. And it's going to fill the world and it's never going to be able to get rid of it. And that for me was a completely different slant on a parable that I'd looked at many times. There we go, Dan. Over to you.
Thank you, Robin. Okay, floor is open. I'd like to come and share. Priscilla, come on. Great. Fantastic.
Amen. What I want to share and what it has really helped me was the one that Eric shared. Please forgive me, I can't really remember the title, what the kingdom of God is like. But what I learned from what he shared was, it was about a prayer from the tax collector and one other person. Is it a Pharisee? But he considered himself so worthy and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. However, the tax collector was so humble and just said, God, have mercy on a sinner like me. So what I learned from it was that sometimes as children of God, we may think, because I do A, B, C, and D, I'm much better or worthier than someone else. But what I learned from it was that we are never ever allowed to compare as children of God. And what really struck me was when he said he was working and then there was another person of faith who joined. And then he was thinking, is she Protestant? Is she Orthodox? But then God said, how dare you judge your sister, my daughter? So as Christians, what I learned is that it's only God who is above and has the right to judge. So we shouldn't ever stand in the position of judging who is right, who is wrong. But we should always thank God for his grace and pray that he continues to give us his grace to live as children of God and never ever compare, because it is by grace that we are saved. Thank you.
Come on then, Dave, you come up next.
Thanks. Some of you might know that beneath this calm, cool exterior is a somewhat impatient person trying to get out. When Mandy and I, my wonderful late wife, and I got married, we determined we were going to pray every day for for those that were nearest to us in the family, which we did. There might have been a couple of days, but, you know, I mean, if I was away, we didn't pray together, but we still prayed. So, and the targets of those prayers, fundamentally, her father was a Christian. Mum wasn't, her mum-in-law wasn't. Very anti, because her husband spent so long doing choir and everything else and took him away. My mum had grown up in Welsh Chapel, but when her dad died, when she was just 14, 15, you can imagine life experiences affect different people different ways, and she just went away from it totally. My dad, well, we'll get to that another time. So we prayed for these two ladies in particular every day, that they'd come to really know Jesus as Lord. Mum-in-law, 19 years later, for those of you who want the math, that's about 7,000 prayers. But anyway, and for me, this is where it came in. We identified the prayer of the parable of the persistent widow almost right up front as that we need to be persistent. We need to persevere. And for someone who's a little impatient like me, you know, Lord, give me patience, and I'd like it now, please. You know, never pray for patience, because God will put you in positions where you really need it. So, my mother-in-law gave her life to the Lord 19 years after we started praying. My mum, 38 years. That's about 14,000 prayers, I think it is. So I'm not sure how the parable linked it. We said after a few tries, you know, we never realized it was going to take us that long, but persistence, we just felt drawn to that parable. God says that he will act. And so we kept praying and praying. It's not a contest, it's not anything. We just did it because we believed that eventually God would come through, and he did. And that all these parables, this series of parables, yeah, I mean, I've read them, I've worked them through, I've done all sorts of things. But I think my biggest, effect on me from re-going through some of these parables is that the way these things affect us and we learn from them maybe when we're in our 20s or our 30s have a slightly different way of working into our lives when, like me, you know, 70s, 80s, whatever. And they've all been good. They've all been great at re-challenging certain elements of my life, particularly since obviously I've been on my own. So persist in prayer. If there's things you're after, don't give up. Just persist and persist and persist.
Thank you, Dave. Brilliant. Anyone else?
Thank you. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just was reflecting on the parable of the prodigal son. It's a parable that touches me, and it should touch you, because we live in a world that is judgmental. When someone messes up, most of the times people, they are keen to just post it on social media, criticizing, mocking, laughing at the downfall of the person instead of embracing our brother who has fallen. There is one saying some time ago that I heard. Someone was saying that sometimes it's unfortunate that Christians are the only army that finishes off the wounded. We know that in the army, when someone is wounded, they bandage the soldier. They don't leave him behind. If whatever it takes, they make sure that they go with him, they bandage him, one of their own. But sometimes, even as children of God, we sort of join the world in actually rejecting the already rejected and the one that has gone through a lot, instead of giving him hope, embracing him back, just like the father did. We're just like the older brother. People are going through a lot. Some other time, I was sharing in one of the Thursday meetings that we had in this hub. Philip was there. I can't remember who else was there. I was giving them a bit of my background, where I come from and what I've been through. And there are a lot of people who are going through the same and who have been through the worst. because I came from a broken family where I had stepdad who never celebrated my achievement, who celebrated everybody's, who had a social media WhatsApp group. I will post my achievement. I've just graduated. I've just received my results, varsity results. I passed. And he will never comment. But if the other child posts even something that seems silly, he will be commenting, "Oh, that's good, my child." And at some point, I even thought of exiting the group because I was saying, what's the point? Even my own like biological upbringing was not so great. I lost my entire family, virtually, except my mother, in very strange circumstances. My dad took his own life. My two other brothers, they just had mysterious death. I'm the only surviving child of my dad's side. So what I'm saying is, as I close, is that when you meet people, you must direct them to the unconditional love of God. People have gone through a lot, and it is us who should redirect them to say there is a God who loves you despite the rejection, despite what you have been through. There is God who loves you unconditionally and will never leave you. And when they are broken and when they go out and mess up and make mistakes, let's not finish them off. Let's embrace them again and show them the love of God. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for that. Ray.
Thank you. One of the things I've really found lovely about this whole series, and in fact, actually a number of things we've done recently, is that actually that digging deeper. The parables are something we're so familiar with and quite often taught when we were at Sunday school or little, and we think we know what they mean. And I found, certainly with the one I did and with some of the other, well, with all the others, there's actually much, much deeper depths in there. There are things in there that, yeah, we don't even think about. And I think that was the most brilliant thing about this series. And I've got another Kingdom of God one for you. The Kingdom of God is full of people with eyes and ears open to the Spirit.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, great, thank you.
I particularly enjoyed Joe's parable about the man who found a treasure in a field, sold everything, bought the field. And you know, the Kingdom of God is the most amazing treasure. But I don't have to go and buy a field to get it. It's just free for me. And I can live in it freely.
Yeah, amen. Thank you. Great. Doug, there we go.
But I think the amazing thing for me is when we think of the Kingdom of God, we think of a thing, a place, or one thing. When you think of the parables, when it says the Kingdom of God is like, there were so many different variants. It was like a treasure in the field, like we've just heard. And there's no one thing you can put it to. But the king, but Jesus says, "I come to bring the." No, he came to bring us the Kingdom of God, and we're all part of that. Part of his kingdom, to bring the Kingdom of God to those around us. And there are little treasures out of all of those little parables that we take. And I've been meeting a friend of mine quite regularly now, who's really hurting, and it's been going on for a couple of years. And for me, that is bringing the Kingdom of God to him, although we don't necessarily always talk about God, and that's irrelevant, but I'm being his friend, I'm being his listening ear. And for me, that is bringing the Kingdom of God to people. Just being Jesus to people around you, in whatever way it is.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, M? Saw the hand.
I like the parables. There's lots of stories we can hear, where the moral of the story is X, Y, Z, or, oh, this tells us we should be nice. Or I like that the parables tell us something about God, not just another way to do things or the right way, but I love that it tells us he's the God that runs out to meet you when you're returning from feeding the pigs, or he's the God that is nicer than the judge who will hear the persistent widow. I love that that's what you learn from the parables, something about how amazing God is. There's not just a moral or another thing we need to try and do, but we learn something more about how lovely and amazing he is.
Okay, anyone else? Final call? Okay. Yeah, why don't you just pray? Yeah. Have you got something to share as well, or are you just going to go and pray? Or both? A little bit of both. All right. Yeah, Eric, why don't you come up then? Yeah, Eric's just going to pray for us as we kind of draw this series to conclusion as well. But yeah, just thank you very much for just sharing. Just, well, one, being here and listening, but just, yeah, for those that have shared as well. I mean, I just think it's obviously wonderful going through the different weeks of having messages or sermons on these parables and these teachings. But she's also really rich to hear from each other and to learn from one another. And we encounter God together when each one shares. So thank you for that. Really appreciate it. And just do go on sharing. If there's other reflections come to you in the week, find someone to talk through and talk it. Yeah, share it with. It's an encouragement. So thank you, Eric.
I think one of the things that strikes me about the parables is that there isn't always just one interpretation. For example, Margaret, you shared about the treasure hidden in the field. And I think most of us think, oh yeah, we should be looking out for the kingdom of God like that. I came across a slightly different understanding of that recently. And guess what? The person who found the treasure is Jesus. And guess what the treasure is? We are the treasure that he was looking for. He gave everything to bring us in. Wow. And yet, the other one is an equally valid understanding of the parable. And so there are multiple meanings on this. And as I was thinking about praying, it struck me, and this is what I want to pray. Let's just pray now, shall we? Father, thank you that, Lord Jesus, when you spoke, you didn't just speak plainly, but, Lord, you spoke in a way that causes us to think, that causes us to dig deeper, that causes us to inquire, what are you after? What's it all about? And, Lord, thank you that you draw us in. You don't just point the finger and say, that's the way, go. Lord, you draw us in. And we thank you for that. And Lord, the thing that struck me just earlier this afternoon is that so often, after a parable, you would say, let him who has ears to hear, hear. And Father, right now, our prayer, my prayer, is that as we go forward, you will give us listening ears, hearing ears, to hear what you have to say to the churches, to hear what you have to say to us individually, and Lord, for that hearing to be effective in fruit in our lives. So, Father, would you give us hearing ears, and would you enable us to hear what it is you want to say to us individually, to us as a church? Amen.